are committed to exercising more control over our lives and to become better organized. Amen. Wave my hand again. Hallelujah. There are others who promise themselves to quit smoking or quit drinking. Hallelujah. Praise God. And then there are some who have promised to just quit promising. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Although it is not necessary for us to wait until the new year to make changes in our lives, the new year appears to be the logical place to begin, doesn't it? Resolutions are numerous at this time of the year. I want you to look at your sermon note sheet, saints. It's a cream-colored note sheet in your order of service. And what is our first point for this first Sunday of the new year? Simply willing something is not enough. Let's say that again. Simply willing something is not enough. It's not enough. Decisions do better, hallelujah, when they're enacted upon, amen? Promises of change are empty unless they are realized. So as a people, you know, we're quick to take a notion, but slow to make a motion. All right. We have many notions, but few motions. If there are seven little totes, they were sitting across here, and one takes the notion to jump off, how many toads would there be left? Seven. There would be seven, hallelujah, left, because they just took a notion to jump off. I mean, you got to actually jump off, you know, not just a notion. Y'all got it? Amen, amen. Simply taking a notion and jumping off are two different things. Enacting on our decisions to change require an act of faith. Everybody say an act of faith. An act of faith. Faith that God will enable you. God will stand by your side. God will see you through. Amen. So, saints, looking at your sermon note sheet, let's just read verse 11 from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 11 together. Now finish the work so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it, according to your means. Amen. So as we prepare to go through this new year, every one of us saints needs to step forward in an act of faith that God will do in 2008 what God has done in years before. Hallelujah. We sang, we've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in God's holy word. God has never failed us yet. Never has and never will. Tell your neighbor, never has and never will. God will never fail you. Never has and never will. Saints, there needs to be a new beginning in all of our lives. New starts, clean slates. How many know that? But those new starts, those clean slates can only come through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, because Jesus is the one that gives us the strength. We can do it through Christ who strengthens us. But before we get into our message, let us pray. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Oh God, we thank you for the gift of a brand new year with new opportunities to be new creatures in you, Lord Jesus. We ask, Lord, that you would speak now, Lord, for we, your servants, are listening. And we pray we may go forth not just as hearers, but doers of your precious holy word. And we ask it ahead of time. And all God's people said, amen, amen. I like to compare various versions of the word of God. In our Old Testament text for today, Deuteronomy 33:25, the King James version of that verse says, thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Amen. Now, looking at our sermon note sheet, what is our second point for today?
Shoes, shoes, and more shoes.
Shoes, shoes, and more shoes. Hallelujah. Now, saints, there are some people, hallelujah, who have many pairs of shoes. Amen. All colors, styles, shapes. And I will confess to you that I am one of those people. All right, there's another confession. Amen. I've come to believe that there's a shoe gene. And it's in my family strong. I can remember all the way from my grandmother, my mother, just all the way, my sister, all the way down. I think Samantha is the most organized with her shoes, however. Some of you all have seen Samantha's shoe collection. All right, but we love shoes, all right? Now, there are many kinds of shoes that have been made for various kinds and types of reasons, depending on how many shoes you actually have in your closet. Matching the right shoe with the right occasion can be a task. Amen? Amen. That right, Jackie? Hallelujah. That's another one of my shoe sisters. Praise God. Most people try to pick the right shoe to wear for comfort, for effectiveness, and for appeal. Now, work shoes, they usually are heavy duty. I mean, you could just get down and do some real work in some work shoes. Amen? All right. Now, there are some football shoes. I didn't have any of those shoes. They're like cleats. You know, they got these spikes at the bottom. There was none of those in my closet, so I couldn't bring any. But there are tennis shoes. I had some of those. Now, tennis shoes, they are where you can really get somewhere fast. All right, you can do some power walking and some power cleaning up the house. How many put these kind of shoes on where you get ready to vacuum and get that house clean? Praise God. All right, then we've got house shoes, shoes we can wear for comfort. Praise God. Now, these are some real comfortable shoes because there's a button here, and they've got batteries in them, and they start vibrating. So I'll be standing, oh, these some nice house shoes right here. Ooh, they make you feel good. Hallelujah. Praise God. There's all kinds of shoes to fit every occasion. Now, back in the day, everybody say back in the day. Back in the day. Now, many of us here, when we were young, our parents picked our clothing out for us. Hallelujah. All right. Praise God. They would never allow us to pick our own clothes because if we picked what we really liked, it probably wouldn't have suited the occasions, most of them, that we went to. So back in the day, parents had school shoes for us. We had shoes we wore to school, and we had shoes we wore to church. And you didn't wear your church shoes to school unless it was something very special. And your parents said, okay, you can wear those church shoes. But normally, we wore our school shoes to school. Amen. And our parents, they picked what shoes we would wear. Praise God, saints. God does the same for us every year. Unlike us, praise God, God knows what is coming ahead. And God prepares us for whatever is coming. Amen. If it was left up to us, we'd probably slip into these shoes and we'd have them on for the whole year. But this isn't going to handle all that we're going to face in the year. Amen. We would be slipping and sliding all through the year, tripping and falling, if we could just make the choice of what kind of shoes. It would be fun. I think I picked these out. It'd be fun to just dance through the whole year in some dance shoes. Now, actually, I'm so different. These were actually like my power walking shoe. I remember when the men's organization had, we walked over to New Life Fellowship for praise God, for the New Life Center. And I had on shoes similar to these. They were orange. These are white. And everybody was looking at me like I was out of my mind. But I actually, amen, but I actually walked well in heels. And I made it there and made it back. But when I got back, I said, well, I could have wore something different because one of my toes did hurt. Yeah, yeah. So I didn't do a good job that time. Hallelujah. And God knows that about us. Praise God. So God looks ahead and prepares us for what God knows is coming into our lives, saints. And God knows the shoes that we're going to be needing. All right. God can see if the rain is coming. God can see if we're going to need boots and rain shoes. If it's going to be a year on the beach where we can just use sandals. I left my flip-flops upstairs. I want y'all to see my flip-flops. But God knows when we need flip-flops. God knows what lies ahead for each one of us, saints. And our faith rests on the belief that God knows what is best for us. Hallelujah. And will prepare us for whatever is coming. God will see to it as we approach any difficult moment that we are fully equipped. Thank you, Lord, to be able to handle the situation. God knows the future. Just high five your neighbor in celebration and say, God knows the future. Thank you, Lord, that you know the future. We don't know what the future holds, but God knows the future. Amen. Amen. And as believers, saints, we can be confident that if we abide in the Lord Jesus and the Lord Jesus in us, that God will bless us this 2008. Oh, we thank you for it ahead of time, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. And saints, whatever comes our way, God will prepare a way for us and give us the right kind of shoes for the occasion. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Now, saints, our text for today, Deuteronomy 33, it focuses on the blessings of Asher. Everybody say Asher. Asher and the people of Israel as they prepare to enter into the promised land, like entering into a new year. Now, Asher was the eighth son of Jacob. The name Asher means prosperity. It means happiness. It means fortune. And Asher's descendants formed one of the 12 tribes of Israel. And as the children of Israel, after 40 years of wandering in the desert, prepared to enter into the promised land, Moses pronounced blessings on each of the tribes. Now, in verse 24 of this chapter, it focuses on Moses' blessings upon the tribe of Asher. And the blessings of Moses that he pronounced was a blessing of prosperity, a blessing of opportunity. A similar blessing had been given to Asher himself by his father Jacob in Genesis chapter 49, verse 20. Well, now as they prepare to enter into the promised land, Moses says again what has been said before, that Asher would be blessed with children and that he would dip his feet in oil. Now, saints, that meant, it was an expression that meant that his descendants would enjoy favor, they would enjoy opportunity, and they would prosper. So each tribe was given certain portions of the promised land to claim as their own. And no tribe would possess their land without some element of struggle. Say, some element of struggle. All right, in life, there's always going to be some element of struggle. Hallelujah. Well, included in the lands assigned to Asher was a mountain range. And this mountain range was rich in copper. And it was rich in iron and rich in other minerals that would make them a wealthy people. Hallelujah. It was like hitting the megabus. All right. It was a great opportunity. Yet the opportunity was not without its pitfalls. There were many Canaanites already in the land. All right. So holding that mountain with such richness would require considerable risk. Saints, even life in the hills for them would be more difficult and demanding than the simple life of living in the valley and in the plains. But praise God, despite its drawbacks, Asher was presented with this huge opportunity which came with a great promise. The Lord promised Asher that God would equip the people for the journey ahead by giving them shoes of iron and of brass. Now, saints, of course, God did not literally mean iron or brass shoes, but that God would give them whatever, everybody say whatever, whatever was necessary to seize the opportunity that God was providing. Sometimes you gotta seize the opportunity. Let's just practice that. You gotta seize the opportunity that God is providing. Well, saints, under their feet would be iron, would be copper, would be all kinds of materials that they could make brass, and all kinds of beautiful metals could be made. They would be sitting on top of one of the best opportunities that was available. But, everybody say but. But it would require much work. Ooh, there goes that word work. Ooh, we don't like that word. God promised to provide whatever they needed to make the journey. Well, saints, God went even further to encourage Asher even more by saying, "And as thy days, so shall thy strength be." Whoa! It was God's promise to Asher that whatever the coming days or years would bring, God would provide, God would make a way, God would give them the strength to meet each new challenge that might deter them from achieving the great opportunity that God gave them. Saints, look at your sermon notes with me, please. What is our third point out of this text for today? Tough shoes for rough roads. Tough shoes for rough roads. Now, saints, if Asher was still nervous after all God had promised, God told all of the people, if you look in verse 26 and 27, let's read those two verses together. There is no one like the God of Jeshurun, who on the heavens to help you, and on the clouds in his majesty. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. The Lord will drive out your enemies before you, saying, destroy them. Hallelujah. Whoa. In verse 28, God goes on and promises them that they would dwell in safety in the land that God had promised them. Well, if the people would just seize the opportunity and just seize the blessings that God had provided. God promised in verse 29, if you look there, that they would be happy. They would be protected by God's shield, and their enemies who doubted them would be made liars. Whoa, don't that sound good? Your enemies being made liars. All right. Well, the tribes went forth to claim their territories with boldness. However, everybody say however. However, Asher, even though they heard the promise of God, they were reluctant to go and claim what God had promised them. Saints, they did not claim the mountain that was filled with rich copper and iron and rich minerals. They abandoned it. And the Zidians claimed what should have been their blessing. They did not claim their land. They did not possess them like the other tribes. But saints, instead, they contented themselves with working less, with less potential. They did all right, but they could have done better. They could have chosen to surrender their all to God and to go and claim what God had promised them. In short, saints, they made a mess with what they had been blessed with because they failed to believe God and to step out in faith and claim what God had given them. Would you touch your neighbor right now and say, friend, don't be messing with your blessing in 2008. Don't be messing with your blessing in 2008. Now turn to your other neighbor and say, neighbor, neighbor, what God's got for you is for you. What God's got for you is for you. Hallelujah. Claim that. Claim it. Claim it. Praise God. I want to share a short story. Mae Cooper had shared this with me. It's called The Package. A young man was getting ready to graduate from college. For many months, he had admired a beautiful sports car in the dealer's showroom, and knowing his father could well afford it, he told him that's all he wanted. At graduation day approached, the young man waited, and he waited signs that his father had purchased the car, and finally on the morning of his graduation, his father called him into the private study in his house, and his father told him how proud he was of him to have such a fine son, told him how much he loved him. He handed his son a beautifully wrapped gift box. Curious but somewhat disappointed, the young man opened the box and found a lovely leather-bound Bible with the young man's name embossed in gold. Angrily, he raised his voice to his father and said, "With all your money, you gave me a Bible?" And he stormed out of the room and out of the house, leaving the Bible. Many years passed, and the young man was very successful in business. He had a beautiful home, wonderful family, but realized his father was very old and thought perhaps he should go to him. He had not seen him since that graduation day. Before he could make arrangements, he received a telegram telling him his father had passed away and willed all his possessions to his son, and he needed to come home immediately and take care of things. When he arrived at his father's house, sudden sadness and regret filled his heart. He began to search through his father's important papers and saw the still new Bible, just as he had left it years ago. With tears, he opened the Bible and began to turn the pages that his father had carefully underlined a verse, Matthew 7, verse 11. And if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father, which is in heaven, give gifts to those who ask him? As he read those words, a car key dropped from the back of the Bible. It had a tag with the dealer's name, the same dealer who had the sports car that he had desired. And on the tag was the date of his graduation and the words, "Paid in full." Whoa. Saints, how many times do we miss God's blessing? Because it's not wrapped in the package that we thought it should have been wrapped in. I want to encourage you, do not spoil what you have by desiring what you have not. All right. The choir sang about thanks. We all got much to be thankful for. And remember that what you have now, whatever it is, what you have now, was once among those things that you had hoped for. All right. I wanted these shoes, all right? Now I might get tired of them, but there was a time when I really wanted these shoes, all right? I was grateful for them, all right? So remember, what you have now is among those things that you had one day desired and hoped for. So if your gift, my friend, the blessing that God wants to bless you with, is not packaged the way you want it, it's because it is better packed the way God packed it. Hallelujah. So we need to appreciate all blessings in our lives. Learn to appreciate the little things. I want to say to you for this 2008, never pass an opportunity to sell someone how you feel about them. Hallelujah. And when it comes to being good friends or family, forgive, 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 forgive. Oh, hallelujah. We have so many opportunities to offer each other that gift of forgiveness. And saints, it's never worth the pain to hold grudges. This young man missed out on a beautiful relationship with a father who loved him so much. So it's never worth it. Well, we ain't speaking. We ain't spoken days, weeks, years, whatever. People will go years without seeing someone or missing the opportunity to say, "I love you." Life is short. And we never get a chance to push any kind of rewind button, saints. We might not get a chance to tell them again, "I love you." So right now, since life is short, I want you to turn to a neighbor and I want you to tell somebody in here today, "I love you." I want you to tell somebody in here today, "I love you." Somebody, tell somebody, hallelujah, hallelujah. And when you go home, tell somebody, "I love you." Tell somebody, "I love you." Praise God. Praise God. And do it all year long, saints. Do it all year long. Unfortunately, saints, there are many people like the people of Asher. We are messing with our blessing. Now, Asher was the recipient of a great opportunity. Yet they chose to squander it rather than possess it. They allowed others to get what was supposed to be theirs. In a similar sense, saints, there are so many today who we fail to capitalize on the blessings, the opportunities that God makes available to us. Saints, this year ahead, this 2008, it's going to present for all of us as individual families, and as a church, many blessed opportunities. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, some of those opportunities, saints, may be in business development. God has put so many entrepreneurs in our midst. And some of you are going to excel. You're going to exceed. You're going to prosper. Some of us in career advancement. Any of us seeking career advancement this year? How about job opportunities? God is going to make job opportunities available. Home improvement. Some of us need to do some home improvement work. Amen. Some of us need to do some personal relationship improvement. Amen. We need to improve relationships in our lives. However, saints, like Asher's opportunity, what the Lord has in store for us might require some work. Everybody say some work. It might involve a level of risk. How many know when you tell someone, I love you, that's a risk? They might say, well, I don't love you. That's a risk. Amen. Amen. So it's a level of risk. But remember this, nothing good happens to us without hard work. You got to work hard. Hallelujah. Now, Frederick Douglass, he once said, where there is no struggle, there is no progress. Where there is no struggle, there is no progress. And how we say it, no pain, no gain. Hallelujah. That's right. All right, that's in there too. Amen. And I've learned that in our new Bible study, Christ First Place. When we be power walking, Elder Casey then told us to get out there and do all this stuff. No pain, I say, no gain. No pain, no gain. Hallelujah. But really in the class, it's no pain, much gain. So we want to go the other way, most of us. Hallelujah. No pain, no gain. Praise your name, Lord. Frederick Douglass also said that the person that wants to progress without struggle is like the farmer who wants rain, but doesn't want the thunder and the lightning that comes with the rain. But we got to take that too, saints. It could very well be that the opportunity that God will make available for some of us right now this year will not come without some considerable struggle and sacrifice. Yet, the opportunity is here. High five your neighbor and say, the opportunity is here. It's here. Is here. The opportunity, saints, to become spiritually stronger. Who here today wants to be spiritually stronger this 2008? The opportunity is here, praise God. But it won't come without a commitment to studying the Word of God. Coming out to life sharing Bible study, the sisters in the Lord, men who excel, marriage sensation. Christ First Place, these Bible studies, to study, to dig deep into the mountain of God's Word, hallelujah, to seize its treasures. If you want to become spiritually stronger, you've got to get in the Word of God, amen, and seize its treasures. Now, the opportunity to strengthen marriage is here. Of all the married couples, how many want to strengthen your marriage? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The opportunity is here, it's here. It is here, praise God. But it's not going to come without difficulty and some element of sacrifice. Are there any other relationships that anybody wants to improve this year? Parent, child, sister, brother, co-worker. All right, amen. Fellow students, praise God. The opportunity is here. The opportunity to succeed in education or career development. Anybody want to do that? It's real. It's here, saints. But it won't happen until we trust God fully and are willing to make those first steps. In this 2008, saints, don't go messing with your blessing by shortchanging yourself and underestimating your ability to achieve. Hallelujah. James 4:2 says, you have not because you ask not. Hallelujah. So if you start doubting, well, I don't know if God could do that. I don't know. You're messing with your blessing, saints. If you fail to seize the opportunity because you think, well, if I try this, I might fail. You're messing with your blessing. If you doubt God in any way and you fail to do what you know you should be doing, you are messing with your blessing. Hallelujah. Would you high five your neighbor and say, don't settle for anything less than what God has promised you. Because what God has for you this 2008 It is for you. It is. Praise God. It's for you. Now look at the fourth point in our note sheet. What is it, saints? Rough roads need tough shoes. Amen. So I know this not the shoe for rough roads. All right. All right. In this 2008, it's going to offer many opportunities and challenges. However, acquiring the blessings that God has in store for each of us may require that we travel some rough roads, saints, in the coming months. And like Asher, we receive God's promise to provide for us the iron and the copper and all the metal that we need for the rough roads that we may encounter this year. Now, the rough terrain we encounter is the route, hallelujah, in which we're able to achieve our ultimate reward. Now, Asher was given this mountain of copper and iron and metals that were filled with all of this richness. The mountains was his descendants' reward. But they said, oh, that's too much. That's too much work. We don't want, and they gave it away. Saints, what are the mountains that we are facing this year? What are our mountains today? Well, the mountains could be that extra responsibility that we have assumed, whatever it may be. It could be a new mouth to feed. It could be a new relationship to build. It could be a new job. It could even be no job at all. That might be your mountain. It might be a personal quest to achieve whatever it is that God has laid on your heart to achieve. It could be even an overcoming an extended personal illness, or someone we love, helping them through an illness, or someone who is going through in our lives, helping them through a difficult time. But praise God for the fifth point. What is the fifth point, saints? Strength for every situation. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Saints, Asher and all of Israel were about to go into uncharted territory. They were about to go in. They had no idea what was ahead of them. Yet God promised, as your days, so shall your strength be. Saints, every year brings with it an assortment of days. Good days, bad days, hard days, stressful days, and a few lazy days, hallelujah, when nothing happens. How many like those days? Oh, hallelujah. I say, oh, yes, Lord, give me a boring day today. Oh, I'll take a boring day. Saints, there will be a few days this year that will be so easy. The only strength you're going to need for that day is the strength to be able to push that remote control on your TV. There will be a few days like that. Hallelujah. Praise God for those days. But there's going to be some other days that are going to be, woo, so much more demanding. Hallelujah. And these are the days, saints, that will need that strength. We'll say, Lord, I can't do this on my own. I don't have the strength. Holy Spirit. That's why this promise of God is so important for us today. It promises that when we need it, everybody say, when we need it, God will provide. God will provide the strength for the journey. Hallelujah. Now, saints, this says, as your days, which refers to the demands of some of the moments we're going to have. And then it says, so shall your strength be. That refers to the spiritual reservoirs, the reserves that God is going to unleash on you. Hallelujah. As an unneeded basis, God is just going to put that strength right into you. Hallelujah. So, sisters and brothers, we are being told in this text, in this year ahead, there may be some tough days, but come what may, Jesus is enough. Come what may, it may be tough, but Jesus is enough. Yeah, it may be tough, but Jesus is enough. Hallelujah. Now, all we have to do is look in the newspaper, we look on the TV, and it's just so discouraging. The news is filled with wars and rumors of wars, bad financial news, the stock market going down over here, investments dropping over here, companies closing in, laying off. And then we see they're talking about gas prices. They said by spring, we're going to be paying $3.75 per gallon for that oil. $3.75 when we go to the gas station, $3.75. It's almost at $3.75. Well, they're saying it will be. So that means it's really going to be about $4. We look in the paper. We don't know when this war in Iraq is going to come to a close. We don't know. So by all indications, saints, there are going to be some rough times in the year ahead. But praise God, we can rejoice. We can rejoice today. We can rejoice in the truth that even when the road is rough, God is enough. Amen. God is enough. And we know that Jesus is enough, saints, because last year, Jesus was enough. That's why we're here today, because Jesus was enough last year. Hallelujah. Now, last year, some of us stumbled along the way. But how many could say today, but God was enough? I stumbled, but I'm here today because God was enough. Somebody got weak last year along the way, but we can say today, God was enough. Oh, Jesus helped us move from one level of strength to the other. I'm not what I should be, but I ain't what I ought to be because Jesus keeps moving me from one level of strength to another. Says we move from strength by leaning on the Lord. Trusting in God's holy word. God has never failed us and never will. Sometime last year, there was spots in our lives when we could see no way. We could see no way. But praise God, how many found out? God made a way. The Lord helped us find a way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes except through me. The road may get rough, saints, but God is enough. When there was no hope last year, some of us found ourselves in that hopeless position. But you know what? God gave us a new inspiration. God picked us up, dusted us off, put a joy in our spirit and a pep in our step, and sent us on the way. And here we are today. Hallelujah. Like the writer says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, saints. It reminds us that the road may get rough, but God is enough. God will make a way somehow. And God gives us what we need to make it through each and every day. In the Lord's Prayer, we say, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Amen. And saints, God knows how many spiritual calories we burn up every day. And God is going to give us enough strength to renew us, enough strength for us to sustain ourselves and to continue on. So saints, when we think we cannot continue, this year I want you to just stop and say, Lord Jesus, I'm asking for strength. Lord, give me strength. And God will give you the strength that you need, saints. We may need regular, we may need high octane. God knows exactly what it is you need each day. Hallelujah. That's why David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Hallelujah. So in 2008, would you just high-five your neighbor and say, neighbor, don't worry. Don't worry, neighbor. Don't worry. Because God is going to supply all your needs according to God's riches in Christ Jesus. So don't worry. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Encourage your neighbor right now and say number 6. Our 6th point is, the way may be tough, but God is enough. Hallelujah. You can depend on him. You can depend on Jesus. Oh, for I heard him declare, lo, I will be with you always. Always. Even to the end of the earth. Praise God. Jackie shared a story with me years ago. It was about a fella. He needed to get to the other side of the country. And his family said, well, just get a plane ticket and go on. And you just go on. He said, no. They say you love the Lord, you're a Christian. Just buy you a plane ticket and get going. He said, I love the Lord so much. I love the Lord Jesus. And this is exactly what Jesus said. Look here, read it. It say, lo, I will be with you always. Lo. It don't say hi. It say, lo, I will be with you always. Praise God. He says, so I'm catching the bus because the bus is low. Because I want Jesus with me. Hallelujah. Praise God. But saints, high or low, Jesus is with us, saints. And will always be with us. He'll never leave. us nor forsake us. He'll be with us even to the end of the earth. Depend on Jesus, and everything is going to be all right. Hallelujah. Saints, don't be messing with your blessing in 2008. So let's all quickly rise to our feet. And let's seal this commitment by encouraging one another with this chorus. Jesus.